This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. That looks like we are good to go, inshallah ta'ala. Let's just check one more small thing. Okay. So we're just getting some problems over the speed of the internet. It was okay yesterday, right? Could be. It's okay, it's working, inshallah. Excellent. Let's just put this on full screen and we are just about good to go, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala abdillahi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. So first of all, I would like to begin with praising Allah. I would like to begin by asking Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I would like to extend my thanks and gratitude to the administration of the masjid, to the shuyukh, the mashayikh who are teaching here and leading the salah here. Because wallahi, they have really, I mean, they have gone out of their way to make it easy for us to be able to deliver these talks by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we ask Allah to make it heavy on the scale of their good deeds. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us what will benefit us, to benefit us with what He teaches us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and to give us the ability to act upon it. My dear brothers and sisters, the topic for today, insha'Allah ta'ala, is going to be around about 50 minutes long, give or take. So we're hoping to finish around about 8:30 bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. I must admit, I don't have a great history of finishing my talks on time. But let's see what Allah Azza wa Jal makes easy for us. The topic for today is a very beautiful topic. Wallah, it's a topic that brings the hearts close to Allah. And in reality, it is a topic that represents the core of your worship with Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." Du'a, it is ibadah. This is what it means to worship Allah. Du'a, this is what worship is. And this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually reminds me of another statement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made when he said, "Al-Hajj Arafah." Hajj is Arafah. What does that mean, that Hajj is Arafah? All of the Hajj, the most important thing, and the thing that represents the whole of the Hajj is Arafah. And he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a, this is what ibadah is. This is what it is to worship Allah. Can we bring an evidence from the Quran for this? We can. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Ghafir, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And your Lord said, "Make dua to me and I will answer you." My dear brothers, who is this a promise from? It's from Allah. Does Allah break His promise? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Allah never, ever, ever breaks His promise. And Allah promised us that if we make dua to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer us. Did He make this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Not only, because the word here in Arabic means all of you. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, all of you. Udu'uni, all of you make dua to me. أستجب لكم, I will answer all of you. And He didn't say, "Udu'u ya Muhammad, أستجب لك." Call upon me, O Muhammad, and I will answer you. But He said, all of you, if you make dua to me, I will answer you. So nobody should ever, ever think that I'm too lowly, or that I am too sinful, or that I'm too far away from Allah to make dua to Allah. Because anyone who thinks this in reality has thought less of Allah. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They didn't give Allah what He really deserves to be given. They didn't think of Allah in the way that Allah deserves to be thought of. Does that mean that you're not sinful? All of us are sinful. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ. All of the children of Adam frequently make mistakes. All of us are sinful. But ultimately, Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Kareem, Allah the most merciful, the bestower of mercy, the one who always forgives, the one who is the most generous, Al-Hayy, the one who is shy for a person when they raise their hands to Him, that He returns their hands empty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua not because you are great, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most great. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua. And then Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Those people who are too proud, too arrogant, to do what? عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Look at how Allah Azza wa Jal here uses the word ibadah for dua. In the books of tafsir, look up the word ibadah here. They all say dua. The word ibadah here means dua. So Allah uses the word ibadah and the word dua interchangeably, because dua is the core of the worship that you do. Those people who are too proud to worship me will enter Jahannam disgraced. Those people who are too proud to make dua to me. And that happens to people. It happens even to people who themselves, they love Allah and they love Islam. But sometimes shaitan whispers to them in different ways, and shaitan convinces them not to make dua to Allah. Allah is not going to answer you. You're too sinful. You made too many mistakes, you're too far away. Allah Azza wa Jal answered the dua of Iblis when he said, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. My Lord, give me respite until the day of resurrection. And if Allah Azza wa Jal answered that dua for a wisdom, not because of what he was asking, and not because of the good of it, and not because of the good of him, but Allah answered that dua for a wisdom that is with him, why will Allah Azza wa Jal not answer your dua? وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said to you, make dua to me. He didn't say make dua to anyone else. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. The masajid belong to Allah, so do not make dua to anyone except Allah. This word أَحَدًا, the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, when they talk about this word, they make it from al-fadh al-umum, the words that are general. It means anyone, whoever they are. Don't make dua la li malakin muqarrab wala li nabiyyin mursal fadlan an ghayrihima. Don't make dua not to a beloved angel, not to a prophet that was sent, let alone anyone else. And if you wouldn't make dua to Jibreel, and you wouldn't make dua to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is nobody else that has any more virtue left for you to make dua to. The masajid belong to Allah, so don't make dua to anyone except Allah. And I have a little bit of homework if you're interested in this topic of the issue of making dua to other than Allah. Just look at the number of times Allah tells you in the Quran not to make dua to anyone else, or blames the people who made dua to other than him. For example, open an index of the Quran where they give you the words in the index and look up the word dua. Go through all the times the word dua is mentioned in the Quran and look at the sheer number of times that Allah says about the people who made dua to other than me. They made dua to those that don't benefit them and don't harm them. They made dua to others besides Allah. They made dua to those that don't hold anything within this world, and they don't hold any power. What is the connection to this? There's a connection to Allah Azza wa Jal in His Lordship, His names and attributes, and a connection with dua. So the connection that I want here is, many times when Allah tells us about dua, He refers us back to His Lordship. Those that they make dua to instead of Allah, they cannot. They cannot do this, they cannot do that, they cannot create, they cannot sustain, they cannot control. Why? Because if we accept that Allah is our creator and our sustainer and our provider, the one who gives us life and causes death, the one who everything is in His control and nothing happens without His permission, then what is the benefit in making dua to anyone besides Allah? If we really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is our Rabb, Allah is our Khaliq, Allah is Ar-Razzaq, the one who provides everything for us. And I did never heard a Muslim say that someone created me except Allah. And I never heard a Muslim ever say someone else created me. Never. I never heard anyone who has any intisab to Islam say the Prophet ﷺ created me. Never. And I mean, I never even heard a Christian say that Jesus created me. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. I never ever heard a Muslim say the Prophet ﷺ sends down rizq from the sky. I never heard anyone from any group ever say that the Prophet ﷺ controls what's in the heavens and the earth. Nor did I hear them say it about Jibreel. So if the Prophet ﷺ doesn't control those things, alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow upon him the exaltation of his mention, and may Allah Azza wa Jal bestow peace upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he doesn't do those things, then certainly nobody else does. And if nobody does that except Allah, then our dua, why would we make dua to someone who doesn't control our life or our death or our rizq or our creation? That's why many, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this when he talks about making partners with Allah. Because Quraysh used to believe this, right? He says to Quraysh, the one who sent down the rain from the sky, the one who brought out the vegetation from the ground, the one who created life and death. So why are you making dua, or why are you making a partner with anyone when you know that it is Allah who does all of those things? So there's a clear connection here. And we know that all of us need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. You people are the ones in desperate need of Allah. As for Allah, He is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. He is the one who is free of all need and worthy of all praise. And again, the names and attributes, the same thing. We don't know Muslim on the face of this earth ever said that anyone other than Allah is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. The one who is the one who doesn't need anyone, and everyone needs Him. Nobody ever said it. So if Allah is the only one who is Al-Ghani Al-Hamid, so Allah is the only one who needs us, the only one who deserves for us, doesn't need us. The only one who deserves for us to make dua to Him. Because Allah doesn't need our worship. But Allah deserves us to worship Him. And Allah is the only one who answers our dua. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَاهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, who is it that answers the dua of the one in desperate need? And who is it that takes away the harm that happens to you? And who is it that makes you leaders on the earth? Is there any ilah with Allah? Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected that. Who can answer you? No one can answer you. So there is nothing deserving of dua, deserving of worship, deserving of coming near to them, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'ilahum ma'allah. Is there anything deserving of worship along with Allah? How little is it that they remember? So why is Allah deserving of worship then? He's the one that answers the dua. He's the one that takes away the harm. He's the one that gives you what you want, your authority and power and money and whatever. It comes all from Him. So if all of that comes from Allah, nobody deserves for us to make dua to them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he said to him, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. Young man, I'm going to teach you some words. And one of the things that he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask anyone, only ask Allah. And if you seek help from anyone, only seek help from Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal took this same approach and same connection between these things in Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The Al here is istighraq, al-jins. All types of praise only belong to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Because He's the Lord. Who is the Lord? Al-Khaliq. Al-Sayyidul Khaliq, Al-Mudabbir, Al-Razik. Some of them say other things like that. Yani the one who is the master, the controller, Al-Mudabbir, the Khaliq. This is the Lord. Allah is the only Lord of the worlds. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah is the only one who is the most merciful, who bestows that mercy upon whoever He wants from His servants. Allah is the only one who is Maliki Yawmiddin, the owner of the day of recompense, or commonly occurring qira'ah, Maliki Yawmiddin, the sovereign of the day of recompense. Allah is the only one. So then what does that mean for us? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone I worship and you alone I ask for help. Meaning you alone I make dua to, because Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Ibadah is dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, الدُّعَاءُ هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is the core of ibadah, the essence of ibadah. Therefore, it is for Allah alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. It is you alone that we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. In case someone said, no, dua doesn't come under worship. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. When we seek help, we only seek it from you. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Surah Al-Fatiha itself is dua. This is from the virtue of dua, by the way. From the virtue of dua is that Allah began His book with dua and concluded His book with dua. Do you ever think about that? Allah began His book with dua. Surah Al-Fatiha. It's a dua. What's the proof it's a dua? It ends with Ameen. That means you don't need more proof than that, Tani. It's a dua. Surah Al-Fatiha is one long dua. And He concluded His Quran with قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, which is also a dua, asking Allah to keep you safe from the evils of the world and the darkness and the jinn and the shayateen and the magicians and the jealous person and the one that whispers into your chest. So Allah Azza wa Jal began His book with a dua and concluded His book with a dua, to show us the importance of calling upon Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is from the virtue. It's from the virtue of dua. Likewise, the statement of Ibrahim that Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about in the Quran. وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي عَسَىٰ أَن لَا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا. This is amazing. Allah tells us what Ibrahim said. I have distance myself from you, withdrawn from you, and all those that you make dua to instead of Allah. Look at what he said, I have left you and all those that you make dua to instead of Allah, and I only make dua to my Lord. I hope that I will not be wretched, because when I make dua to my Lord, I will not be from the wretched. Look at what Allah said. When he distanced himself from them and what they used to worship instead of Allah. So in the first ayah, Allah tells us the same thing. Ibrahim says, I'm leaving you and the people you make dua to. Allah says, when he left them and what they worshipped. What does that tell us? That dua and worship are synonymous in this ayah. Ibrahim says, when I left them and what they worshipped, what they made dua to besides Allah. Allah says, when he left them and left and what they worshipped besides Allah, we gave him Ishaq and Ya'qub and we made each of them a prophet. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, Udu'u Rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 55 to 56. What I want to do just briefly for this particular point is I just want to bring this ayah up because there is a word in English that I want to double check the translation of. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, make dua to your Lord in humility and privately. In humility and in secret and privately. He does not love the transgressors. Look at how Allah again associates transgression with the people who don't make dua to Him. And don't make corruption on the earth after it has been made right. And make dua to Him in fear and hope. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is near to the doers of good, the people of Ihsan, who strive for the highest level of excellence and goodness in what they do. Again, Allah ties Ihsan to making dua, goodness and righteousness and exceeding the level to making dua. And His rahmah, He connects it to the people who make dua. They make dua what? Khawfan, out of fear. So when you say, oh Allah, keep me away from the fire, what is the thing that makes you want to keep away from the fire? It's the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the thing that makes you crave for Jannah? It's hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you call upon Him. Somebody might say, yes, but the righteous people don't call upon Allah in fear and hope. Righteous people call upon Allah with love. Many people have this misconception. What do you say about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal about the prophets, all of them? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. This destroys the idea that you should call upon Allah with nothing but love, neither should you have any fear nor any hope. Allah says the prophets, He's talking about all those prophets He mentioned, Ayyub and He mentioned Yunus and he mentioned a group of prophets in the surah, which is Surah Al-Anbiya, the surah of all the prophets. And Allah said, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. They used to rush to do good deeds. And they used to make dua to us in fear and hope. Or in hope and fear. رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. They had a raghba, a desire, a hope, and rahaba. And they were scared. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. And they were submissive to us. Why? They were submissive because they made dua in fear. And they made dua in hope. Excellent. We also need to talk about some of the things that the Prophet ﷺ said with regard to dua. Abi Hurairah radiallahu an narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَى. There is nothing more noble or virtuous in the sight of Allah than dua. There's nothing more noble or more virtuous in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal than dua. And we mentioned the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, الدُّعَى Well, ibadah. Dua really is the essence of ibadah. What about our need for dua? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith of Abi Hurairah, It's narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, others, that he said, "Man lam yad'u Allah, man lam yad'u Allah subhanahu ghadiba alayh." Whoever doesn't make dua to Allah, Allah becomes angry with him. Whoever doesn't make dua to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry with him. But we are in desperate need of calling upon Allah Azza wa Jal. From this is the beautiful hadith that we must mention. Absolutely, we must mention it. And this is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said that Allah said, "Ya ibadi, kullukum dalun illa man hadaytuh, fastahduni ahdikum." My servants, all of you are misguided except the one that I have guided. So ask me to guide you and I will guide you. "Ya ibadi, kullukum ja'un illa man at'amtu, fastat'imuni at'imkum." My servants, all of you are hungry except the one that I at'amtu. I am the one who gave him food. So ask me for food and I will feed you. "Ya ibadi, kullukum 'arin illa man kasawtu, fastaksuni aksukum." He said, all of you are naked except the one that I clothe. So ask me to clothe you and I will clothe you. "Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una bil-layli wal-nahar, wa ana aghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'an, fastaghfiruni aghfir lakum." My servants, you make sins in the day, in the night and the day, and I forgive all sins. So ask me to forgive you and I will forgive you. Until he said, "Ya ibadi, my servants, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا على صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل واحد مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر." He said, "O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you and the men of you and the jinn of you all stood on the same plane and every one of you asked me for everything they wanted and I gave everyone what they wanted, it wouldn't take away from what I have except like a needle that is dipped into the sea." Except like a needle that is dipped into the sea. And this is from the desperate need that we have of Allah. We need Allah to feed us, to clothe us, to guide us. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And we get that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And if you ask Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer you. And we said the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. If you make dua to me, I will answer you. And we mentioned the ayah, أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Who is it that answers the one in desperate need when dua is made to them? But now, my dear brothers, it makes sense for us to cover some of the etiquettes of making dua. And from the etiquettes which I'm going to talk to you about is really a big topic in the topic of dua, and that topic is the topic of at-tawassul. That is, seeking a means of nearness to Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded us, وَبَتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ. Seek a means of nearness to Him. But that means of nearness, I had a question or something for you to think about. Without talking about any of the means of tawassul, is it possible from just our knowledge of Islam in general that this statement of Allah telling us to seek a means of nearness to Him means that we can get near to Him in any single way that we want? Or does it have to be restricted by some rules and regulations? Everyone, every single Muslim, regardless of where they come from, they have to agree that it has to be restricted. Why? What about if I, لا قدر الله ذلك, may Allah never make it happen, or if a person put an idol on the table and sought nearness to Allah through the idol? Every Muslim, regardless of which place it came from and which background, they would say, this is making a partner with Allah, وَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek refuge with Allah from that. But didn't Allah say seek a wasila? So can I not seek a wasila through an idol? Everyone would say no, you cannot seek a wasila through an idol because Allah has restricted it. So we all agreed, all of us together, that there have to be some restrictions in tawassul. And we also agreed there has to be tawassulun shirki, a type of tawassul which is shirk. So for example, if a Christian says, which many of them do, I don't believe that Isa created the heavens and the earth, nor do I believe that he controls life and death, but I seek nearness to Allah through him, you would say this is tawassulun shirki. You made shirk with Allah, you made a partner with Allah, you put Isa as a partner with Allah. So we all have to agree, regardless of what we've heard and regardless of how we make dua, we all have to agree that tawassul is restricted by the rules of the Sharia. And we also have to agree that there are some examples of tawassul which could reach the level of shirk. Like the person who makes tawassul through an idol. I've had conversations with Hindus more than once in a dawah perspective or in a dawah situation, where they said to me, we swear to you that we only believe in one God who created the heavens and the earth, and all of these idols that we turn to, all of it is just tawassul, a means of nearness to God. So we all agree there has to be tawassul shirki. Tayyib, what's the difference then? What's the dabit? What's the farq? How can you tell me? Tell me now, explain to me, what's the difference between tawassul, which is mashru' and tawassul mamnu'? Like, what's the difference? The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the wording of Muslim is what? Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad. Whoever does an action that is not in line with our affair, yani our sunnah, it will be rejected. So now we have agreed that if a person's tawassul contains shirk, it's not accepted. All of us agreed that the idol worshipper, their tawassul is not accepted. And we also agreed, because we all believe in what the Prophet ﷺ said, that if we do something that goes against what he did, it won't be accepted. So now we've agreed there has to be tawassulun shirki and tawassulun bid'i. There has to be a tawassul which reaches shirk, and also a tawassul which goes against the sunnah. And that will be rejected by Allah, even if it doesn't reach shirk. But if it goes against the sunnah, it's also going to be rejected by Allah. Therefore, could we say that any tawassul we find a clear evidence for in the Quran and the sunnah, we could use it? But the tawassul that we don't find in the Quran and the sunnah, we should keep away from it out of a fear that it becomes tawassul, which is shirk, or tawassul which goes against the sunnah. Therefore, let us look at the tawassul that comes in the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is very, very simple. The first one and the most obvious is coming near to Allah through His names and attributes. Right? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has the most perfect and beautiful names, so make dua to Allah using those names. And we need an example. I don't want to just give a theory. What about the dua of Ibrahim and Ismail? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Our Lord, accept from us, you are a Sami', the one who hears everything, Al-Alim, the one who knows everything. طيب, we said Al-Asma' al-Sifat, names and attributes. What's the ruling about dua and Allah's attributes? For example, Allah's honor. How can we make dua with that? Do we say, for example, Ya Izzat Allah Irhamni, for example, or Ya Rahmat Allah Irhamni? We don't say it, right? We don't make dua to the attribute, but we make it with the attribute. Dua to the name we can make, because the name is the name of Allah, right? The attributes, we don't separate it from Allah by making it look like it's something different. So we don't say, for example, Ya Kalam Allah Irhamni, or Ya Rahmat Allah Ighfirli. But what we say is, O Allah, I ask you by your mercy, I ask you by your izzah, I ask you by kalimatillahi tamma, your perfect words, your perfect speech. All of these came in, examples came in the sunnah that we know them all the time. Yeah? Examples came in the sunnah for all of these. For example, a person says, for example, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. I seek refuge through or with the perfect words of Allah. And if they didn't make dua to those words, they made dua with those words. And oh Allah, through your perfect words, I ask you to keep me safe from the evil that you created. Or the statement of the person who makes dua, bi rahmatika astaghith. By your mercy, I seek your help. Or I seek your aid. Or I seek relief from you. By your mercy. Bi rahmatika. So we don't make dua and say, ya rahmatallah. But what we do say is, bi rahmatika. By your mercy. By your perfect words. And all of the attributes, they get that ba on the front, right? By your bi rahmatika. Bi kalimatillah, by your words and by your rahmah. That answers the question the other day that the person asked about, can I make dua by the Quran? So I tried to find the dua that was mentioned. There is one narration where it's mentioned. Someone asked the question, there is one narration where it's mentioned when a person finishes the Quran. But the key thing is that a person asks Allah through the Quran. So if someone says, for example, oh Allah, I ask you by the fact that I finished this Quran, or I ask you by this Quran to have mercy on me, to give me Jannah, to forgive me my sins. There is nothing wrong with this as long as they are asking Allah by it. Because we know the Quran is Kalamullah غير مخلوق. It's the uncreated speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can say, Allahumma arhamni bil Quran, or Allah have mercy on me through the Quran. Now, the second one is to remember the blessings of Allah upon you. There was one I was thinking of. Yeah, to remember the blessings of Allah upon you. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي من في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. Perfect example. Yusuf, Allah tells us in this dua, he begins by mentioning the blessings. My Lord, he mentions Allah's name, my Lord. My Lord, you have given me from my kingdom and you have taught me, you have given me kingdom and kingship. You have taught me how to interpret dreams. The creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my wali, not in the dunya and the akhirah. Cause me to die as a Muslim. This is the dua. Tawaffani musliman, cause me to die as a Muslim. Wa alhiqani bis salihin, and attach me or put me, join me with the righteous. From the means of tawassul is to make tawassul to Allah through mentioning your situation and your difficulty. Allah loves for you to mention your difficulty. What did Ya'qub say? Allah told us in the Quran, he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah. And I know from Allah what you don't know. And some of the scholars, they call this الانكسار بين يدي الله سبحانه وتعالى. Showing yourself to be broken before Allah, begging Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal loves for you to beg Him. Allah Azza wa Jal loves for you. He loves for you to beg Him. There is a hadith like that. Alihu, that make beg Allah Azza wa Jal with Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. Allah, this in a riwayah, Shaykh, what I remember for it is Al-Ilhah. That's what I remember. Let's check the wording of it. There might be more than one wording of it. Let's see if I can find it. I lived though I found it with that wording. But I thought there's another wording that mentions al-ilhah in it. But we'll come back to it. Calling upon Allah Azza wa Jal and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They call it begging Allah Azza wa Jal, making, showing your need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth one, mentioning your righteous deeds. Rabbana innana amanna faghfir lana dhunubana. My Lord, we have believed, so forgive us our sins. Did that make sense? You ask Allah by your good deeds. We remember the story of the people of the cave? The story of the people of the cave, that they, each one of them mentioned a good deed and made dua to Allah, and slowly the cave opened. Mentioning what you want from the outcome of your dua, like the statement of Ibrahim that Allah tells us in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ. Oh Allah, I've placed for my family in a valley that has no vegetation. My Lord, so they will perform the prayer. فَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ. So make a group of the people, تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, and give them from the fruits, so they may be grateful. So he mentioned two things. He mentioned a dua to Allah. At the beginning of the dua, he asked Allah to make this dua come true so that they could perform the prayer. And in another part, he asked for Allah to make them, so that Allah would make them grateful. And from this is, and this is the sixth one, is to ask someone who is alive and present to make dua for you. And there is no harm in this, as long as you don't make it a habit that you do all the time. There is no harm in asking Allah Azza wa Jal by going to someone and saying, Akhi al-Kareem, make dua for me. But their condition of this is the person must be alive. We don't ask the dead. And they must also be present. We don't ask the one who is ghaib, who is absent from us, yani that we are like, you know, someone across the other side of the world. But you say to them, my dear brother, make dua for me. But this is not good to make a habit of it too much. And if you look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they didn't used to make a habit of this too much. They didn't used to make, to ask the Prophet every single day. You don't see Bukhari and Muslim full of the Sahaba saying, make dua for me, make dua for me. But they asked him at some times, and other times they didn't. From the fundamentals of what makes a person's dua accepted is for a person to be a person of al-iman wa taqwa. Your iman, your faith, and your taqwa in the sense of your obedience to Allah. Why? Because in the hadith, man aada li waliyan faqad aadhantuhu bil harb. Whoever shows enmity to a beloved servant of mine, I declare war upon him. In this hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the beloved servant, and he mentions, وَلَا إِن سَأَلَنِي لَعُطِيَنَّ. If he asks me, I will certainly give him. So this beloved servant, his dua, generally speaking, is accepted. Who is the beloved servant? Allah told us really three things about the beloved servant. The first thing he said, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The beloved servants of Allah, they are the people who there is no fear on them, nor will they grieve. The people who believed and used to have taqwa. So belief and taqwa. In the hadith, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًا, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about the person who does the fara'id, they do the obligatory deeds. وَلَا يَزَالُ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And the person keeps on doing the voluntary deeds until Allah loves them. So they start with the obligatory deeds and they build up upon the voluntary deeds. So this, if we put it all together, iman and taqwa and building upon the obligatory with the voluntary deeds, this is what takes for a person's dua to be accepted. From this is also having good thoughts of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Udu'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." Make dua to Allah while you are sure that Allah Azza wa Jal will answer you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Hadith Qudusi, "Ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi," I'm as my slave thinks of me. It's also very important that we are sincere to Allah in our dua. We know the famous hadith, "Innamal a'malu bin niyat," your actions are according to your intentions. "Wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa," and everyone will have what they intended. Having an attentive heart. And from the very important things that we must be careful of that prevent a dua from being accepted is the issue of our rizq, the issue of the purity of your sustenance and the correctness of the job that you do and the income you earn and how you spend it. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned a man, ذَكَرَ رَجُلًا يُطِيلُ السَّفَرِ. He was on a long journey. أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرِ. He was dusty and disheveled. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He raised his hands to the sky. He said, "Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb, my Lord, my Lord." What was his problem? His food was haram. His drink was haram. His clothing was haram. He was nourished on haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. How will Allah answer that dua? So growing up upon haram, being nourished upon it, eating it, drinking it, wearing it, living it, earning it and spending it are reasons for a person's dua to be rejected. It's very important that we try our best to take our dua from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is for two reasons really. There are two very, very important reasons. The first important reason in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that if we go away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our dua might not be accepted. We mentioned the hadith, "Man amila amala laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad," and we don't want our dua to be mardood, to be rejected. So we try to stick to the words and the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Yes, he did allow some degree of flexibility in the words of dua, but always his words, everyone agrees, his words are going to be better than ours. So what you should do is, if you look in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you find a dua for that in there, use it. And don't go away from it, because it's going to be better and more likely to be accepted than anything that you could say. And if you don't find it, add something from yourself in the words that is sensible and limited. But be careful of one thing, and that is going over the limits when it comes to dua. Going over the limits. Many times people by accident, they go over the limits that are set by Allah Azza wa Jal. Like that sahabi who famously said, "Oh Allah, give me my punishment in this life." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him and he was completely destroyed, broken. And he said, "Did you make dua for something?" The sahabi said, "Yes, I asked Allah to bring me all the punishment in this life." He said, "You would not be able to do it." And he taught him how to ask Allah Azza wa Jal. So using the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam keeps you away from the issue of at-ta'addi, going over the limits, or al-i'tida, in the issue of dua, going over the limits that are set by Allah Azza wa Jal, al-i'tida, going over those limits in the topic of dua. So when you learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only do you learn how to make dua, you also learn the etiquettes of dua. And sometimes people go over the limits set by Allah in many different ways. From the ways that I saw people go over the limits set by Allah is, for example, going into too much detail in what they're asking Allah for, instead of asking Allah for something and putting your trust in Him to give you the best for you. For example, when someone wants to get married, For example, wouldn't it be better to say, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Give us a wife, children, who will be a pleasure to my eye and make me an example for the pious. Instead, someone says, oh Allah, allow me to get married to this person and that with this description and this situation. And the problem is that the person doesn't know if that's good for them or not. If you want to be so specific, make istikhara. Make istikhara and say, oh Allah, I'm thinking of marrying this girl from this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. But better you ask Allah, better. I'm not saying it's not always forbidden, but sometimes people go too far. Like saying, oh Allah, I ask you for a place in this particular, on the right hand side of paradise. There's some reports like that. Oh Allah, I ask you for a place that is exactly in this place of paradise. I say, why would you not just say that, oh Allah, I ask you for Firdaus al-A'la min al-Jannah, for Firdaus al-A'la, oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah. But sometimes people are very, very, very specific and very, very detailed without knowing. Sometimes you ask what doesn't benefit you. You ask Allah for something that doesn't benefit you, or ask Allah for haram. It happens sometimes, people ask Allah for haram. And there are people making dua, oh Allah, let this girl notice me, and so on and so forth. And they're making dua for something that is haram, or they're making dua for something that doesn't benefit them. They're asking Allah for something that doesn't benefit them. So be careful about this particular issue. From the etiquettes the Prophet ﷺ would use is to begin with the praise of Allah. And you don't have to do it in every dua, but it's a nice habit to begin with the praise of Allah, and then once you've begun with the praise of Allah, to finish, to go second with sending salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the companions asked, should I make this in all of my dua? And if you do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you and suffice you for all of your concerns and all of your needs. So to send salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to praise Allah azza wa jal. These are all from the etiquettes of dua. From the etiquettes of dua are raising the hands. But raising the hands, just like facing the qibla, both of them are etiquettes of dua. But we can divide this into three groups. Times when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands normally. Okay? Times when he extended his hands all the way up, and times when he never raised his hands at all. So let's give these three times an examples. Examples where he raised his hands high, al-istisqa, when he was asking Allah for rain. And he would raise his hands so high they would see underneath his armpits, the whiteness of his armpits from how high he would raise his hands in istisqa. From the times that he never raised his hands, for example, it's not reported that he or that the Sahaba raised their hands in the Jumu'ah khutbah, for example, except for istisqa. If the Imam makes dua for istisqa, some of the scholars said you can also raise your hands if he asks Allah for rain. Also, it's not reported the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his hands after the salah, typically. There's no harm in a person on a one-off situation. They remember something they wanted to ask Allah. They say, Ya Allah, after the salah is no issue. But this habit of raising the hands after the salah, it wasn't something the Prophet ﷺ himself used to do. So some people said, yes, but raising the hands is good. We agree. But you have to distinguish, when did he raise his hands normally? When did he raise his hands high? And when did he not raise them at all? And so we copy that in our self. And of course, if someone brings a hadith for something, alhamdulillah. But if they don't bring a hadith for it, then there is no harm. Any a person, if they don't have a hadith for something, then they have to stick to what they know. It's always recommended to make dua to Allah in a state of tahara, and it's always recommended, as we said, to call upon Allah in fear and hope, and to remember who it is that you are calling upon. It's also a very important habit that we teach people not to say insha'Allah in dua. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade that, saying insha'Allah in dua. Because when you say insha'Allah, it's like you're saying, oh Allah, if you give it to me, that's good. And if you don't give it to me, that's also good. And that's inshallah, any whatever you want. If you want to give it to me, give it to me. If you don't want to give it to me, don't give it to me. It shows like a lack of, you know, dedication and seriousness. Instead say, Ya Allah, give me. And if Allah gives you, He will give you. And if He doesn't, He won't. But still you make dua with your full heart, yani with everything in your heart. Realize who you're asking. You're not calling upon one who is deaf or absent. So you don't need to scream and cry and wail. If you cry naturally, that's fine. We know that one of the people who will be shaded under the throne of Allah when there's no shade except His is the person who remembers Allah when they're alone, فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا, and his eyes shed tears. But this deliberate wailing, like sometimes you see in Ramadan, they bring, you know, it's bring an imam who naturally cries, no problem. But they bring someone to wail, you know, at the front. Just because the person is known for like wailing. I've stood behind people making dua in Taraweeh. You just like complete wailing, and you cannot hear anything. It's just screaming and wailing. You're not calling upon one who is deaf or one who is absent. From the etiquettes we learned from the Prophet ﷺ is repeating the dua three times. From the etiquettes we learned is to make dua for yourself and then other people. For example, if you're really sincere, you know, like sometimes people say, Allah hadik, may Allah guide you. But if you want to be really sincere, why would you not say, for example, Hadani Allah wa iyak, may Allah guide me and may Allah guide you. And that shows you're really sincere and not like just trying to get under their skin and insult them. So it's nice when you make dua for yourself and them. Making dua for people who are absent. When you say dua for your brother or sister when they're not there, what does the angel say? Ameen, and may you have the same. Walaka al-mithl, and may you be given the same. Making dua for the ummah is also from the sunnah, to ask Allah to forgive. For example, in the Quran, we find the dua of Ibrahim, the dua of Nuh, both of them mention al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat. Oh Allah, forgive all the Muslim believers and all the Muslim female believers, all the men and all the women. In the dua of Nuh, at the end of Surah Nuh, dua of Ibrahim, in Surah Ibrahim, and making dua for the believers, making dua for them, Yawm al-Qiyamah, making dua for them to be forgiven for their sins. And some of the ahadith indicate that you'll get reward for every believer. Some of them said there's a weakness in it, but some of them said you will get a reward for every believer that applies to. Not just making dua in difficulty. تعرف على الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Come to know Allah when things are easy, and Allah will answer you and be there for you when things are difficult. As for Allah answering your dua, and this is what we're going to conclude with inshallah ta'ala, very briefly, maybe 2-3 minutes more inshallah. First of all, there are three ways that Allah Azza wa Jal can answer your dua. He may give it to you immediately, or He may delay it for you into the hereafter, or He may remove a calamity from you that was going to happen to you otherwise. So Allah Azza wa Jalla may give it to you. You may ask Allah, and Allah may give it. It may be that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you in the hereafter. It may be that Allah Azza wa Jalla removes a calamity from you because of the dua that you make to Him. And that's why we should never think bad of Allah. Never think badly. Never think my dua hasn't been answered. How do I know? Maybe that dua I asked Allah for a new car, and maybe Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're about to be thrown into Jahannam, and the dua for your new car comes and saves you. Much rather be saved from Jahannam than have a new car. You don't know. A person doesn't know. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a car crash that was going to happen to you because you asked for it. And you all sat there, wondering why Allah doesn't give it to me. And yet subhanAllah, Allah is giving you and giving you and giving you, but Allah is al-latif. Allah is subtle in His gift. Very quickly, times and situations where a person's dua is accepted. And we're just going to give them in bullet point form so that we don't take too long. First of all, we want to talk about a particular any time or two particular times. Let's talk about just before the Fajr prayer, in the last third of the night. As Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. They're asking Allah's forgiveness in the last third of the night. And the Prophet ﷺ said, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. He said, your Lord, blessed and exalted, descends to the lowest heaven when there is a third of every night remaining, and he says, "Man yad'uni, who is making du'a to me, fa astajib lah. Wa man yas'aluni fa u'tiyah, who is asking me for something so I can give them. Wa man yastaghfiruni, who is asking my forgiveness, fa aghfir lah, so I can forgive them." Also, the time in Jumu'ah, there's a time. وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ يُقَلِّلُهَا. The Prophet says it's very small. He did his hands very, very small. Time in Jumu'ah, on the day of Jumu'ah, when Allah doesn't leave a person's dua without answering it. إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهُ. Allah will give him that dua. فِيهِ سَاعٌ لَا يُوَافِقُهَا عَبْدٌ مُسْلِمٌ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهُ. There's a particular time no Muslim person gets it except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's asking him, Allah will give him what he asked for. And the best that's said about that time is that it is the time just before Maghrib, or between Asr and Maghrib, in that somewhere in that time, or it's the time when the Imam sits down in the minbar, or it's during the time of the khutbah generally. These are some of the best things that are said about it. Make dua in all of those times. The person who's oppressed, the traveler, the one who is fasting, the one in desperate need. These are all times in which a person, or situations in which a person's dua can be accepted. And indeed, there are other times also, but we are a little bit ourselves short on the issue of time. But one of them I wanted to highlight for you, which many people don't know about, and many people fall short in, is between the adhan and the iqamah. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, "الدُّعَاءُ لَا يُرَدُّ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ فَدْعُوا." Dua between the adhan and the iqama is not rejected, so make dua at that time. When the rain falls, and so on and so forth. And there are many examples. We have given quite a detailed lecture on dua, which I think came to like a few hours worth on Al-Madrasat Al-Umariyah, so AMAU. It's on their YouTube channel, it's public. You can go to YouTube, type in AMAU, and you can type in "call upon me" in the search for the channel. It's called "call upon me and I will answer you." And it's about 12 half an hour lectures. There's more details, more hadith, more evidences inshallah. But inshallah we should all be looking for these specific situations. And one of them, the last one we can mention, is oppression. وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Keep away from the dua of the oppressed person. There is no hijab between it and Allah. There is no barrier between this dua and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something, inshallah ta'ala, that we can all implement and think about and learn and practice. And this lesson, it shouldn't be theoretical. It shouldn't be that we took a theory and we, okay, the dua is accepted, is this, this and this. And that. It's for us to practice it. And we practice it by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. And I gave a khutbah on the topic of Allah's greatest name. I think it's on the Tayyiba YouTube channel, Tayyiba Center in Cape Town, on Allah's greatest name. But the strongest three opinions is that it's the name Allah, or it's the name Al-Hayyul Qayyum, or it's every name of Allah that contains many, many meanings in it instead of one specific meaning. These are the best three things that said about it. So you say Allah Al-Hayyul Qayyum, Al-Jalali Wal-Ikram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with what we have heard. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people who hear what is said and follow the best of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincerity. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to accept from us. This is my last presentation here in Durban. And it's my last presentation probably, Allahu a'lam, and here in South Africa in general, until next time inshallah. So it has been a really wonderful experience. We just like to again ask Allah Azza wa Jal to reward all of the people who were involved in that, and all of the people who supported it, and all of the people who came to listen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one we depend for this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is able to do all things. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal made easy for me to mention. Once again, we say, if in any time in this trip I said something that was correct and true, that's the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal and His mercy. And if I said something that was wrong or a slip of the tongue, and it happens when I'm trying to say 50 hadith in 30 minutes, it slips sometimes. So if it happens, then that is my mistake. Inshallah, we will correct. We put corrections on the video, inshallah. And Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have nothing to do with my mistakes. That's what Allah made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. والصلاه والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. جزاكم الله.